It is good to be with the people of God on a Sabbath morning. So we praise the Lord that we're able to gather and we're under different circumstances, but who cares? We are together and we're praising Him. We're going to bless Him even in different ways. So I just thanks to everybody for rolling with all the new things that have come at us. It's been a year of new things, many of them unwanted, but we've been able to roll with them because of the grace of God and the grace that God's people give to one another. So we praise the Lord. Welcome this morning to Journey Community Church. Those who are with us physically, those who are joining us in the live feed, welcome to you. Those who are catching us maybe a little bit later, welcome to you too. We welcome you in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. It is Advent, and this is our second Sunday in Advent, and we, during Advent, of course, we go back in time and we join people who waited for Jesus' first coming, and we remember His first coming so that we might be prepared, so that we might stay hopeful, so that we might live intentionally in anticipation of His second coming. So it is wonderful a time of year to not only remember Jesus' first arrival here in the earth, but also to be able to get prepared for His second, when He will not come as a little baby. People will not be able to crucify Him. He's not coming that way. He's coming back as the Lion of Judah. I like Christian hip hop. I love it. There's a song. This guy says that the Lion of Judah is coming to rule you, right? And that's what he talks about the second coming. I said, yes, you got it exactly. The second coming will not be like the first, and we look forward to that day when he comes again. So we are celebrating that, anticipating that as well during this time. And in the event, as we turn to the Word of God this morning, let's go ahead and pray, and we're going to acknowledge the Lord and ask Him to help us out as we turn to the Word. Lord God, in the name of Jesus, we acknowledge that You are the one who was, who is, and who is to come, the Alpha and the Omega. We bless Your holy name because You are worthy of blessing. You are worthy of praise. Thank You for all that You have been to us in many different ways this past week. Many of us bring into today, we bring praise because You've been faithful. We bring praise, Lord, because You've been kind. We bring praise because You have taken us through some dark places. We bring praise, even though there are unresolved things, You have sustained us. We bring praise, Lord, even in the midst of mourning, even in the midst of maybe confusion, we bring praise to You because You're worthy and You sustain us. We bring praise because You're that God who answers prayer and who meets His people where they are. Lord, meet us where we are this morning. Meet us where we are in Your Word. Speak to us, Lord, in our hearts. Help us apply this Word to our life situations. In the name of Jesus Christ the Lord, amen. Well, we are in our second installment of our Advent series, which we're calling Joyful Noise. Christmas is louder than the static, and we have this series before us because there's a lot of static right now in our world, and so a lot of us, you know, you kind of go into Advent this year, and it's like, oh my gosh, I need Advent this year. Like, I need the hope of Jesus. I need the Lord to do something, because this year has been a roller coaster for many of us individually, been a roller coaster for us as a nation. And so we come into Advent saying, I need the Lord to do something definitive, and I need to remember some things about the Lord that are going to continue to sustain me, right? And so that's all of us. And there's a lot of static out there. There is all kinds of hostility, right? There's all kinds of terrible, terrible untruths. There are conspiracies. There are conspiracy theories. Pick one. It's like Baskin Robbins. You got 31 flavors, right? Pick what you want, right? The internet will multiply that exponentially, right? There's conspiracies and conspiracy theories and all kinds of competing politics and all kinds of things like that. All the things that make for a nice soup of confusion. And that makes for lots of static. And because of that static, it's tough for us to remember the revolution that started about 2,000 years ago when the Lord came into planet Earth, right, invaded our space, basically, in and through Christ Jesus. This little baby, something that happens, like, all the time. Babies are born every day. And in that mundane kind of atmosphere, that mundane act, God invaded the planet, but it was an invasion of love, an invasion of peace. And today, last week, we said that that faith, you know, is louder, right? We highlighted faith as being something that is loud, right? And that faith was louder than fear, right? But this week we're saying that peace is louder than hostility. And of course, Rob helped us out and lit the peace candle, but then gave us that wonderful reading about the shepherds in Luke chapter 2. The shepherds in Luke 2. And the centerpiece of the passage that Rob led is something that you would see on banners during Advent. You see it on Christmas cards during Advent, right? The Charlie Brown Christmas special has this. Don't miss Charlie Brown. There's good theology in Charlie Brown. They know what they're talking about. That's solid theology, right? Don't sleep on Charlie Brown. And so the Charlie, I have it on DVD. I try to watch it every year because I love Charlie Brown. But you'll find it in Charlie Brown Christmas specials. The centerpiece of the passage that Rob read about the shepherds and the angels coming to the shepherds, verse 14 of chapter 2, Luke, it reads, "Glory to God in the highest, on earth peace, goodwill towards men," right? And we're used to hearing that. And you don't even have to, be a Christian, right? There are many non-Christians who the sentiment behind that, they'll say, yes, I agree with that. Even if I don't do the whole God thing or the church thing or the religious thing, they can get with it, right? That's a lovely thing, lovely sentiment, right? And the message, though, is odd, I want to say. I want to say the message is a strange one, not because the content's weird or not because the content is something objectionable, right? Glory to God in the highest, on earth peace, goodwill towards men. There's nothing objectionable about that, right? But it's odd because of who's giving the message. It's odd because of who exactly it is giving the message in our passage. And I want to invite you to turn with me in your Bibles to Luke chapter 2. We're going to look at verses 8 through 14 together. Just now, and I'm going to say that bit, that's the centerpiece of the passage, glory to God in the highest, on earth peace, goodwill towards men. There's something odd about who's giving it. There's something odd about the messengers. Right, here we go. "There were shepherds in the same country, staying in the field and keeping watch by night over their flock. Behold, an angel of the Lord stood by them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were terrified. The angel said to them, 'Don't be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be to all the people. For there is born to you today in David's city a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. This is the sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in strips of cloth, lying in a feeding trough.' Suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly army praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, on earth peace, goodwill toward men.'" Now focus here on verses 13 through 14. "Suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly army praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, on earth peace, goodwill toward men.'" So our story is pretty simple, and many of us know it maybe even by heart. Even if you don't know it verse by verse, you know it by heart. The shepherds, it's nighttime, they're doing what shepherds do. They're tending their flock, they're watching over them, right? And they get this angel who comes. Angels are freaky. Everybody, when you meet an angel in the Bible, you usually think you're going to die, right? Angel shows up, and the glory of God's all around this angel. And keep this in mind, because of medieval art, we normally think of angels as being in the sky. So you may see artistic renderings of this as if the angel's in the sky, he's got wings. In the Bible, no wings, right? There are some heavenly beings that have wings. It's interesting. It's never angels, right? And so there's no wings. And then also, this is happening on the ground. This is a ground level, which makes it more scary, I think, right? It's ground level, this is happening. This angel shows up, and the glory of God's all around him. They're freaked out. He says, "Hey, don't freak out. I'm bringing you good news, glad tidings, great joy for all the people. There's a Savior who's been born in the city of David." That's Bethlehem. King David was born in Bethlehem. and he is Christ the Lord. And here's a sign for you, so you know what I'm saying is dead on. You're going to find this baby wrapped up in cloths in an animal's feeding trough, right? That's where they put the baby Jesus, right? Okay, so far so good. Then a whole multitude of angels appear with the one angel, and they're singing. That's our central passage. Glory to God in the highest, on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Now look at what the multitude of angels is called. It's called a multitude of the heavenly army. Now I'm using a translation called the World English Bible, not widely known, but very good. It's actually very literal. And the reason I went with that is because it teases out something that many of us, most of you have in your Bibles, when it refers to this gaggle of angels, most of your translations read a multitude of the heavenly host. Right? That's most translations. That emphasizes the number, right? It's like saying a murder of crows, right? A gaggle of geese. A flock of seagulls, right? And you hear that, you think, oh, it means lots. And it's actually true. It does mean lots. But that's not the primary meaning of hosts. When you read in the Old Testament, there's a few hundred times that God is called the Lord of hosts, right? You read that in the Old Testament, the Lord of hosts. And what it means primarily, it does mean lots. Oodles, right? It does mean that. Primary meaning, though, is armies. That's why in some of you, you have that, it's that Christian pop song, it's used in some churches for worship, the God of Angel Armies, right? You've ever heard that song? The church Alyssa I used to belong to in Iowa before we came here, they used to, that was part of their repertoire. They sang this song, God of Angel Armies, really good song, good theology in that song, solid song. That's it. The Lord of hosts, the God of angel armies, right? And here, this is obviously Greek, not Hebrew, it still means the same thing. The primary meaning, it does mean lots. You see host, I have a host of something. It does mean lots. But in the biblical context, the primary meaning when talking about these heavenly beings is armies. Armies. And of course, always, if you have an army, you got lots, right? You don't have an army of two, right? And that's what hosts is about. Now think about it. So if that's true, you have an army of God's angels, and they're proclaiming God's glory, that you'd expect. You know, imagine an army with a flag, right? They're carrying a flag, and God's glory is their flag. Okay, you expect that from Scripture. You're like, okay, I get that. I understand why that would be happening, right? Glory to God in the highest, and some of your translations tease out what's going on there. Glory to God in the highest heaven, right? And so that makes sense. But then they say, but peace on earth and goodwill towards men. Some of your translations, it's goodwill towards those with whom God is pleased or something like that. But peace on earth and goodwill towards men. The army is saying this. The army is saying peace. Peace from God towards the earth and goodwill or good intentions, God's good intentions towards men. Not war on God's, on people. Not God's terrible intentions on people, which is mostly what you'd expect when you see an army. Right? God sends the angel army to be a choir. The army turns into a choir. And the army proclaims his peace on earth and his goodwill or good intentions towards people, his good intentions towards us. The army's been sent on a peace mission. The army has been turned into a choir. And it's announcing peace. Because God has sent Jesus into the world as a little baby on a peace mission, you see. And that's great news, right? Some people might struggle with this because they have a view of God where he's always angry, always always just waiting to smite you, nail you, wipe you out, destroy you. We can get that because we read selectively in the Bible instead of holistically. God is a God of wrath, but my goodness, God's a God of mercy. And wrath's not even the final word. Mercy is. See that? And we don't read the whole bit, you know, especially if you hang on the internet long enough, you're going to run into people who only want to highlight passages that are weird, strange, that do involve God's wrath, and they take them out of context and put them in a little bubble and say, just read this. It's like, yeah, but what about all this other stuff? No, just read this. He's terrible. He's awful. Don't trust him. Right? Or maybe some of us, we've had bad authority figures in life. Bad dad. You know. Bad person in your family. We get hurt in some way, shape, or form. Abused. Right? And it's easy for us to think God's like that. We don't even have to be told that. It's natural, actually, to drift towards that. Right? It's very easy to get a wrong view of God. And easy for me to get a wrong view of God. No dad growing up. Trust me, easy. Right? It's all kinds of things that can make us have a wrong view of God. Weird circumstances, suddenly wrong view of God, right? It can happen. Not must happen, not will happen, can happen, right? For all of us in that situation, for all of us, for maybe even right now, it's really tough to believe God is good, that he's fundamentally predisposed to your good. God sends the army and turns them into a choir to proclaim peace. At Advent, he sends the army to be a choir to sing peace. That's the God we're talking about. That's the God we're talking about. And to make this crystal clear, to give this crystal clarity, because he wasn't content to just send angels to sing it or to say it. You'd think that'd be enough. I don't know. I think it might be enough for me. My goodness. You know, one angel, then two, then like oodles of angels. An army. Right? I'd be like, okay. I get the message. Oh, no. God goes above and beyond. He gives us signs. We have signs. Signs that this is for realsies. What's the shepherd's sign? Everybody gets a specific kind of sign. What's the shepherd's sign? How are the shepherds supposed to know that God's all about peace and goodwill at this moment? The shepherds know God is doing something. Duh, right? Angels, right? That simple. That's pretty easy. You know, God's up to something. These are Jewish shepherds. I don't know about their knowledge of the Old Testament. You know, I wasn't their Sunday school teacher or Saturday school teacher. You know, I don't know all that. But I would think that they would know, hey, in the Old Testament, God sent angels to people, and when he did, holy cow, he was doing something. So they had that much down. But that's not what we're talking about. How would they know that this is a peace thing and not a war thing? How would they know? Remember verse 12. This is the sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in strips of cloth lying in a feeding trough. If they doubted that God is serious about peace, if you doubt that God is serious about peace, and look at the kind of Savior he sent. He sent a baby. A baby. A baby. Jesus can't do anything. He's literally helpless. He does nothing. The only thing he does is he's just born. And he does all the baby stuff that, like, newborn babies do. Needed a diaper change. Cried. Kept mom and dad up. Lord have mercy. Right? He did nothing but just be a baby. That's God saying, yep, I'm really serious about peace. This is my revolution. I'm sending you a baby Yeah, God took care of him. God the Father took care of him, but through people. People who got visions, dreams, angelic visitations, true, but ultimately through people. People had to do all the work. People had to do everything. God helped them, God empowered them, but people had to do it. God the Father put the Son of God in people, in human hands, as a baby. And it's even more astonishing because we know what would happen at the end of his life when the Son of God ended up in human hands. And he could actually do something. He didn't. He could work miracles or do whatever. He didn't. Right? He had bigger fish to fry. But as a baby, he nothing. And God put a baby in human hands. That's the shepherd's sign. It's their peace sign. It's the peace sign. A baby. A baby. What's the sign for everybody else? The shepherds are going to go spread the news. Let's pick it up in verse 15. When the shepherds went away from them into the sky, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem. Let's go to Bethlehem now and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." They came with haste and found both Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in the feeding trough. Both Mary and Joseph and the baby was lying in the feeding trough. Sorry about that. When they saw it, they publicized widely the saying which was spoken to them about the child. All who heard it wondered at the things which were spoken to them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these sayings, pondering them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, just as it was told to them. When 8 days were fulfilled for the circumcision of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. What's the sign for everybody else? Nobody else saw the angel stuff and all that. And, you know, this is they all got to go on the witnesses, on what the shepherds said. Right? And the shepherds were like the perfect guys to pick because they raise sheep. And if you're Jewish, sheep, that's an important part of worship. Right? It's also an important part of your diet. People didn't eat nearly as much meat as we do these days, but people did eat some. Right? Also, you got wool that you would use, right, for clothing. You want to know a shepherd. I'm not saying, I don't know if everybody and their mom knew a shepherd, but I would imagine a lot of people knew shepherds. Right? You want to talk about guys who know people? These guys knew people. Right? They're the equivalent of the butcher, the baker, or the candlestick maker. Right? That's who you get news to. And they told everybody. So what's the sign for everybody else? Well, the shepherd's sign, after all the angelic fireworks, is a baby. God's serious about this peace. Everyone else's sign, because everybody else will say, okay, I see the baby, but babies are born like every day. Who cares? And they'd be like, yeah, but man, those angel armies. Those angel armies. The angel armies, the fireworks, that's everybody else's sign. That's everybody else's sign. This is a kid worth hoping in. This is a kid worth hoping in. Shepherd's sign is a baby. The people who they spread the news to, their sign is the angel armies, right, that announced this kiddo. What's our peace sign? Because we're totally removed from all this by about 2,000 years, right? I mean, we can't interrogate the shepherds. We don't know these guys. We didn't see what they saw. We can't even say that we've seen the baby Jesus, much less the adult one, right? What's our peace sign? The shepherds get a peace sign. Everyone else gets a peace sign. What's our peace sign? Our peace sign is the cross of Christ. Our peace sign is the cross of Christ. We get the most amazing peace sign. Right? The Son of God on the cross. For our sake, in our place, God making peace through the death of his Son on a cross. Paul puts it like this in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 14 through 17. For he himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility by abolishing the law of commandments expressed in ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man in place of the two, so making peace, and might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. And he came and preached peace to you who were far off, and peace to those who were near. That's our peace sign. That's how God makes peace. God makes peace on the cross by dealing definitively and finally with sin and killing the hostility between us and him, which is sin, and then us and us, which is also sin. And he's able to bring us together. This is how God makes peace. He goes to war against hostility through the weakness of the Son of God dead on the cross. God is serious about peace. Our God is a peacemaking God. Peace is the final word, not war. Even though on the way to peace, God wages a strange war on hostility. See that? This holiday season, what's the hostile static? What's the static for you? What's your static that you need God's peace to drown out? What's the static this Advent season, this holiday season? Is it hostility with others? Right? Family members? Fellow church members? People on social media? There we go. Right? Is it hostility with others? Right? At work? Neighborhood? Is it hostility with others? What's your static? Is it hostility with others? If it is, take hold of peace. Christians are called to be peacemakers. Take hold of peace and wage war. Go to war. Not on people. Better qualify that real quick. Not on people. But good, wage war on difficulty, wage war on sin in your own heart. You know, wage war, right, on all the things that are the breeding grounds for hostility between family members, fellow church members, people on social media, people at work. You know, maybe it's having a tough conversation. Maybe it's having a tough conversation. Maybe it's having a tough conversation that involves listening more than talking. Maybe that's it. Maybe it's bringing in outside help to help you to make peace and to wage war on hostility. Bringing in outside help for your marriage, your relationship with your kids, a hostile relationship with somebody at church or at work or in your neighborhood. Maybe it's bringing in someone else. But for hostility with others, take hold of peace, the peace that Jesus has won for us through the cross, right? First of all, we apply it to ourselves and do what Jesus says, die to ourselves. And then once we do that, we're able to wage war on hostility between us and others, right? Is it hostility within yourself? Within yourself, we're all conflicted at different points. You know, some of us might feel like we're two different people. By the way, it doesn't mean anything like you need to be in psychiatric care or something like that. Some of us simply feel conflicted. It could be that there's choices you have to make, and it's very difficult to see between three different viable choices. And you got to pick, and maybe picking involves risk. Because if you say yes to one, you might chuck the other two, and you don't know. Maybe like they were the right one. Who doesn't end up in this situation at some point in time? All of us do, right? Maybe you're conflicted within yourself. Maybe there's hostility within yourself. Or perhaps you struggle with a view of yourself. Maybe you have a view of yourself that is less than God's view of yourself. And you struggle with self-image, right? Or maybe a view of yourself that is higher than you ought to have. Take hold of the weapons of peace, the cross. Take hold of the weapon of peace, the cross. Let God deal with the hostility. You know, take the risk that you need to take, right? And trust God that you've listened enough, you've discerned enough, and maybe it's time for God saying, pull the trigger on something. Do something. Trust me, do something. Because in many instances, we don't move. We get immobilized because we don't trust God. Right? Perhaps we have low self-esteem or low self-opinion. And the Lord says, trust the power of the cross. Trust the power of the cross to resolve the hostility. I love you. See you the way I see you. See that? Too high of a self-opinion, trust the power of the cross. Let me take you down a few pegs mercifully. Right? Because if you don't let God do it now, pain will teach you what pride won't let you learn. Let it happen now. Let it happen right now. Get it straight now. Been there. If you let him do it now, man, it won't hurt nearly as bad down, for you right now as it will down the stretch. Let him deal with that pride. He'll have mercy. Is it hostility with God? That's the last one. Is it hostility with God? Right? Again, take hold of the weapons of peace. Take hold of the cross. Right? If it's hostility with God because of sin, trust in the power of the cross to liberate us from habits, attitudes, practices that we know displease God. We know it does, and we just can't stop. It's too attractive. It's too awesome. It feels great. It's wonderful medicine, especially in a time of pandemic when everybody needs some it feels like they need some extra medicine. Right? And God says, no, take hold of what I got for you. I got much better medicine. God's got better. He's got his very presence for us, right? Ready and available. Take hold of the weapons of peace, right? And have peace with God, God's way, by grace through faith. The Lord longs to bring peace. You know, he longs to bring peace into our lives, peace into this world, and he longs to communicate to us that he's a peacemaking God. He wages war on hostility. But that's not the end of the story. That's not the end of the story. The end of the story is peace. And we worship a peacemaking God. Kaisa is going to come up and is going to give us testimony. We haven't done a lot here before, but hey, this is the season of new things. So Kaisa is going to come up and give us a testimony about peace.
Okay. Can you hear me okay with my mask? Okay. Myron asked me to share a testimony of God's peace in my life, and I guess I'll just share just very briefly what I feel like he's been doing recently. I think all of you can relate to potentially last spring kind of going through a transition of what does life look like now. And I think for me, starting March or April, you know, I'm single, I'm not married. I felt pretty isolated. And it brought up just a lot of questions about God and I think things that had been brewing for a while and this COVID just brought it to the surface. So kind of went through a little bit of a roller coaster and, you know, God was so gracious to bring me through that. And I don't know if any of you have seen The Chosen. It's a series you can watch it on YouTube for free, and I think it's still free, and it's a series about the life of Jesus. And I watched, there was one Sunday evening, I was sitting alone in my apartment, and I watched the first episode. And at the end of the episode, part of it is about Mary Magdalene, and she and her father, when they were young, they had recited this passage from Isaiah. And I don't know what happened in her life. I think her father died, and she became tormented the Bible says, by demons. And she was known in this episode, it says that she was known by Lilith. People knew her by that name. And at the end of the episode, she's sitting in this little dark, it's kind of like a pub. And, it's dark, and she's sitting all alone. And this man comes up and puts his hand on hers. And all of a sudden, you can see something come over her face. And the touch changed her, and she is kind of frightened, and she runs out. And he comes running after her, and he says, "Mary." And she says, "How did you know my name?" And he says the verse that she and her father recited when she was young. It's Isaiah 43, "But now thus says the Lord your creator, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine." And in this, she just starts weeping. She just falls into his arms. And I was sitting on my couch just like realizing, oh my goodness, if I have Jesus, that's the best thing ever. If he's calling me by name. And it kind of opened up this more of a journey. I started reading the Chronicles of Narnia, which again, I don't know if any of you have read, but there's Aslan, the great king, who also is a friend and a confidant. And there's a part where he said in the Chronicles of Narnia, it says, "Lucy woke out of the deepest sleep you can imagine with the feeling the voice she liked best in the world had been calling her name." And this picture of this great lion who also has this deep personal relationship with the children and the animals. And so reading the Chronicles of Narnia, once again, it just brought me kind of through this creation story of Aslan singing creation into existence, and at the end, the last battle, the new creation. And I think for me, just having a greater perspective on having Jesus, just the treasure of Jesus knowing me and loving me, and that there's so much more going on. And ultimately, at the end of the days, he says, "I am the first and I am the last." And not getting overwhelmed by all the static, but really receiving the peace of the one who says, "I am the king, and I also know you by name, and I will chase after you." So that's my story. Thank you for listening.
Amen. Praise the Lord. And we'll be looking to incorporate more testimonies into what we're doing here as we worship the Lord down the stretch. But we praise the Lord that he does meet us in peace, and he longs to give us that. And wherever you are, if you need peace in relationships within yourself or with God himself, if there's something that's keeping you from the peace that he offers in and through Christ Jesus, take hold know that he longs to give it. He is faithful, and he will give it if we want to receive it. In any event, we are going to bless everybody. We're going to have the benediction, and then after our time, we are going to pray, as we've been doing now for some weeks. And so we have a time of prayer. We're going to take a few minutes to set that up and everything, but we'll have a few minutes to have a time of prayer thereafter, okay? So that's what we're going to do. So everybody rise and be blessed, if you would. In the name of Jesus Christ the Lord, by the power that he has afforded his kids who have access to the courts of heaven, peace be upon you, his peace. Jesus gives peace, not as the world gives it, but he gives his peace. May his peace rest on you, your family, and every single thing you do, especially that which you do for the sake of his name. Amen and amen. Be blessed before the living God. Amen.